Good afternoon and welcome to Home Run. It's a Thursday. I remember getting lost yesterday. I kept saying, well, today's Tuesday until Dwight pointed out to me that, no, today's not Tuesday. Today is Wednesday. That was yesterday. And, well, today is Thursday and tomorrow is Friday. So, tomorrow is going to be the 12th. Today is the 11th of September. And for some, for some people somewhere halfway across the world, they are remembering one of the most controversial events to take place in their country. Some say, oh no, we just attacked. Some say, no, we cooked this whole thing up so we can go to war now, because that's none of our business. Today, today we are yet again here as always. With another exciting topic that is one of money, because, well, we like money. So we like to talk about things that have to do with money. That's a fancy way of saying business. This is on a, on a national and a continental level. And if you just tuned in, this is Home Run with Helmut and Dwight joining you at this wonderful Thursday, your drive time show. Is always here to keep you company on your way as you, as you enjoy your, semi-Friday.
Helmut, I know. Helmut, it's 4 minutes into our show and you're starting with the jokes already. I wanted to ask you, since when did the Thursday become lovely? Thursdays have never been that lovely, bro.
Yeah, I know. That's why I'm looking at you like this, because I know you're a Monday guy.
Actually, yes, I'm a Monday guy.
Yeah.
I hate Fridays.
Oh no, Fridays. I love Fridays because I know that the next day I'm, sleeping until 11.
Do you know what was one is actually one of the weirdest things specifically that comes out of my own particular family is that we consider Fridays for what a Friday is, a work day.
Who would want to work on Friday?
No, you maintain. Mm-hmm. The work momentum that you started to work with, meaning on Monday,
yeah,
you maintain it into the Friday.
Yes, you maintain it, and you basically work the whole Friday.
Yeah,
but
you don't switch off at 12 or at 1.
We're not in the public sector.
I wasn't. My shade was not supposed to be directly flowing to the public sector.
I'm terrible at this, aren't I?
You gave it away pretty quickly, But even in the private sector, there's so many people that said, why are we working on a Friday? And then they act like, these 5-year-olds that are demanding, they keep asking you the why question.
Yeah.
You answer the first why, then second why comes out. And you keep going down a rabbit hole, which just starts draining you.
But the dumb thing is, even if you made, I think it's something that has to do with human behavior. Even if you added Friday to be part of the weekend, people will still be complaining on Wednesday. Why are we working on Wednesday since tomorrow is Thursday?
My brain is now busy.
One thing I've come to, observe, about human beings is that there is no satisfying us.
No, there isn't.
There is not.
In many cases,
you can come up with the best solution to a problem. We still look at you and go like, wait, was that it?
Well,
do you have an idea how annoying that is, considering, because you'll be looking at the effort you've put in all these things only to be told, wait, that's all?
Yeah, and, Even if you look at like the, what's that pilot project for the 4-day work week?
Was proposed and died in natural death.
Yeah, which we never heard of again. Our former colleague was, Justicia interviewed that guy.
Now, look, I think that's for developed countries.
No, but it is.
I don't think we have that luxury.
Look, Helmut, everything that we know about the labor force, terms like commodity, terms like who owns production and who participates and who's part of the production, the production mechanisms, what is the inputs, what are the raw materials, what are the outputs you want to, all those things come from the West.
Yeah.
Even the Chinese had stuff like that, the ancient Chinese.
Yeah.
before the Boxer rebellions and stuff like that, and the opium wars. Even the Japanese had these indications. And in many cases, those things were geared towards military consumption because way of life was pretty stagnant, but the armies were the ones sitting with new technology and stuff like that. Mm. Now, obviously, we are almost now doing things in a modern day scenario backwards to front, meaning that all new technology and developments are now there for the betterment or the improvement of everyday human society.
Yeah.
Which pulls back to our talk of yesterday, the one based upon the basic income grant scenario, where you try to improve lives. We can improve lives.
Every sort of like every governance system is, you know, at least on paper, is structured, you know, especially in terms of economics, especially in terms of economic and diplomacy, to, you know, to make sure that, you know, to serve the people, which is why we have this widely definition of democracy being the government of the people, for the people, and by the people. This is the, you know, it's about sending the message that the people are the priority. And we know that the practical reality is that.
No, but then you get, then you get most of the backwards to front, installation, meaning it's geared towards the market and not the people.
The thing is, even if you look at trickle down economy, it's basically, you know, it sends that message in theory that it's for the majority benefit, hence it's trickle down to the, you know, for everyone to be equality and all that.
Yeah, but remember, trickle down
reality
is, trickle down is still associated to the first model that I explained, you know, when the market or the whole economic machinations are developed towards the industry that feeds that market. For example, what am I talking about? If you look at the discussion, obviously, you take even green hydrogen, the green hydrogen programs, you take any of the mining programs, you even take agriculture, you even take fishing, which is part of agriculture in some extent.
Yeah.
And then you ask yourself the question, okay, what is the resource? So we know what the resource is. It's any of those, in any of those industries. Is there a cost? Is there a monetary value associated to it? You check that box. It says yes. And then, is there some sort of a money making process with the product moving from point A to point B, which is a yes as well. And then you ask yourself, okay, so how does the everyday Namibian benefit from these things? No, they've got jobs. Or no, the government went on local content participation engagements, so we are expecting local Namibians to participate through business ventures to service certain particular needs in that, in all of those sectors that I just mentioned. But now, when I bring to you, or like you and I, Helmut, have continuously explored and expanded on the tourism sector in Namibia, the tourism sector, the education sector, and the health sector, and the arts and culture sector, which overlaps into the tourism sector. All of these guys are specifically based upon serving the society, meaning it's a product that you can only sell to the society. It's geared towards, or it's positioned towards, looking after the human capital in a specific designated geographic area, which is a country, or let's say a town or a local authority. But when you look at mining doesn't do that. Mining says, yeah, we give you jobs. And then mining says, but in order to give those jobs, we're going to partner you up with an AI program that ensures that automation runs smoothly, because we don't want any humans touching the incorrect buttons that unfortunately might lead to some sort
Send everything into a mushroom cloud.
Yeah, or a, what's the other one's name, to, you know, unforeseen disasters that we don't want, that might hurt our pockets. So then you look at the human position right there, which is then in a very miniature role or miniaturized role, as opposed to scenarios beforehand where you needed a lot of labor to achieve, you know, as much particular extraction as possible. So now, on the notion, Helmut, that I just highlighted there, trickle down is woven into, you know, not when, when an economy is geared to a market versus an economy geared to a society. Now, the economy geared to the society discussion, the things that I've read, this was 2 years back, are exploratory, meaning they are still pie in the sky theories, because you really have to define or translate how the thing becomes reality on the ground. So when I say it's pie in the sky stuff, yes, it's someone that went and said, oh, we need to return to a position in the world where specifically the conference of 1884 allowed much of the European societies to flourish and to have a, you know, human capital orientated, way of life, cost of living, those things that we cited yesterday in our talk, all those particular subject matter. And then you go scratch your head. So who needs to colonize who for who to achieve that particular benefit? Because you will still need steelworks.
Yep.
You will still need, herbs to make, medicines and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. You will still need agricultural inputs to feed your agricultural, agri-processing plants and stuff like that. So who will have to do the work? Who's going to do the care heavy lifting?
It's always, the answer to that question is always going to be, not me. I just want to benefit.
Yeah.
I just want to reap the benefit.
Yeah.
But, you know, I don't want to do the heavy lifting, which is why you see, I think this is a case that should be named in the very same way that the Dutch disease have been named.
Yeah.
Where you have a lot of, you know, for a lot of developed countries, the more a country developed, the more the citizens of that country don't want to do a lot of heavy lifting jobs, which is why most of those jobs are most likely going to be outsourced to immigrant workers, like farm work, for example.
But that's if you've got such a program active.
That's if you have the program active.
Yeah.
But
is what Germany has, which Namibia can tap into. Mm. But Namibia cannot actually just readily tap into because Germany obviously has preferential treatment. They would love a lot more Indians than Namibians.
I wonder why. Now, today's discussion, ladies and gentlemen, is about, let's start this from the angle of all the conversation. Let me just say most of the conversations we have had, or most of the shows we have had on this, on Home Run this week have been about how do we benefit by we, you know, we as Namibians. How do we benefit from this? How do we benefit from this? How do we take from that? We started with the oil and gas.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, we're still in the process of, we're in the process, like we're still, you know, at least, roughly, roughly a decade, give or take 2 or 3 years.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, to reaching, production of the, of the oil and gas industry. Now the question obviously that we would want to, that we would like to address first before we reach that time or that, that point in the industry is how is an ordinary Namibian going to benefit from this?
Mm.
And then we came to learn that, there are a lot of benefits that goes, the benefits of, to an, from an industry goes beyond direct employment within that industry. There are a lot of services and products that you can offer to that industry, one or another, that can count as you benefiting from that industry. And one easy example that was used, or more like that was pointed out, in terms of indirect benefit from the oil and gas industry was the hospitality industry. In terms of a direct benefit of the, in the oil and gas industry, for example, if you now for anyone that would like to benefit directly, you will have to be upskilled.
Mm.
Now, do we have the right skills? If we don't have those skills, how do we acquire these skills? Who where are we going to acquire them? Where are we going to send the students? But before continue, commercial. Onda kalahandu yako parateza morwe data. Paife ohandi mokuyadi. Nondaka ne data no shoyo o tumaraka mahupi. O netwe kaimwe o kufutarumwe. O kuyingarumwe o kujapandali fio papa ndauka onda pumba o netwe kaoyo hai dira dira ya fange o mafikwa amwe o handi streaming o mafikwa amwe o handi popi o mafikwa amwe o handi ningaishe poshika ndoshimwe pamwe na parateza o inda holora ame haishi pangere osho paumwene Dira dira o makota fanoni data momkaro wili mwana parika okutuma ko tumaraka oku streaminga no kudenga pamwe na parates konga parates Namibia always prepare parates.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the I.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression.
Welcome back. The time is 13:17. 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3. 13 minutes left to the hour of 5. And if you just tuned in, this is Home Run with Helm and Dwight on Eagle FM. And we are still, today's subject is how to benefit from initiatives that we have running in this country. Mostly, most of which are spearheaded by the different ministries, because when it comes to the oil and gas beneficiation and local content policy discussions, that's also coming out of the public sector. And we listened to one interesting speech coming out of the presidency. Just put it that way. Now, today's discussion takes us back to more of an African Union initiative. That's an Africa Continental Free Trade Area. And how can we as a country benefit from it? It's a continent-wide initiative, and as you can imagine, each and every country, all the participants of these initiatives are asking themselves the same thing: how can I benefit from this initiative? Because that's the goal. Basically, it's an interesting commercial way of being selfish. Like, what's in it for me? Yeah.
It is, Helmut, because this particular conversation, obviously, even though you and I, we focused on one specific engagement that took place in one region, but obviously most of this has been going on across 8 regions so far. That's what obviously was explained by the international relations officials that were present at the Omeke Khobaba's engagement. So what this technically was, Dilasis, was all about, touching base across the country through every region, most of the major towns, and sharing with the local entrepreneurial spirit. I'll use that phrase.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, I'll use that phrase. Whereby said particular local individuals empowered with that entrepreneurial spirit can understand how the Africa Continental Free Trade Agreement can be beneficial to Namibian trade or even localized trade, wherever you find yourself in the regions or in the towns across Namibia.
Yeah.
So obviously, as I cited, the one that we've zoomed in on was Khobaba's in Omaheke. Even though they've been happening for a good 4 or 3 months so far.
Yeah.
The important thing that stems from this, dear listeners, is that it's a joint initiative between two ministries that owns the spirit of a third ministry that existed up until 21 March.
Ish.
I'm sorry for convoluting things so much, but just so that you know what is going on here. So the ministries of mines and energy that have industrialization in them, and the Ministry of International Relations that has trade in them, are doing this particular regional ministerial engagement about the AFCFTA together.
Yeah.
Now, Helmut, even though we did this particular analysis like a couple of weeks ago, more like tongue-in-cheek, because we poked fun at, we understand international relations must have trade in it.
Yeah.
We understand that part. But when you go to mines and energy, the industrialization part in mines and energy is not just And it's not just associated to the mining sector or the energy sector. Because agriculture also has industrialization goals in it, as obviously contained within the NDP 6, because it says big and bold there, we need to achieve agro-processing. And then factoring back to that report that we cited, the one based upon the NIDA installations for agro-processing across the country, where we've got the just dormant standing garment factory in Nkurunkuru, the volunteer-run and owned volunteer workforce-run or managed and input-owned tannery at Ondangwa, whereby no one knows who's in charge of running the thing there, but there's a volunteer workforce there. Yeah. Yes, guys, there's a volunteer workforce there.
Patriotism is real in this country.
It's on a super high level.
Yep.
They own the inputs there. You know, it's even reverse socialism because they even own the input, but no one knows whose input is stuck in the, what's the tank's name? The septic tank.
Yeah, the septic
tank. In the septic tank. Yeah. No one knows whose cow hides are stuck in the
septic. That's miracle cow hide.
Yeah, it just showed up there, you know? So, we sit with that, you know, obviously we've got to realign a certain things there because the things were built.
Yeah.
So we just need to know how to make them work. And then we know obviously that the correctional services is an economic function detached from the overall Namibian economy. Because yes, who wants to wear an orange jumpsuit outside of the correctional services? Not me. Do you know how bright orange is? Orange is super bright. I don't want to be a traffic light.
Look, all you just have to do is take a celebrity, give them that jumpsuit, and you'll see the whole city will be looking like traffic cones.
Yeah, if they make it a little bit more stylish, you know, but it's orange, bruh, toch man.
Stylish. Balenciaga is just selling sellotape nowadays, and everyone wants to have one. Just market it properly, believe me.
Yeah,
speaking of marketing, that's one of those things that I think, listening to the Minister of International Relations and Trade, Selma Musavi.
Selma Ashipala Musavi,
pointed out something interesting, and it took me back to the discussion we had with Big Ben.
Mm.
Yeah, about how to, how to put Namibian content out there through diplomatic channels, that are positioned elsewhere representing Namibia.
Mm.
So, that's where Ashipala Musavi pointed out that, the business people now, she did point out that, that's what we are here for as a ministry. Your reach out there is better through us.
Mm.
And that again took me up, took me just straight to the, to the way that, things are done in the West, if you look at it.
Mm.
The Lobito Corridor, for example, Joe Biden landing with Air Force One in Angola.
Mm.
Now, he was not there for vacation. He was there to represent.
Mm.
The 600 million investors into that project.
Yeah. Now, which was the EU and the US together.
Yeah. That was not the, that was not the presidency doing the investment. You can imagine there are a bunch of companies that decided to come together, private or maybe partly a public that came together to put together that money.
Mm.
And then bring about the investment.
Mm.
But, you need diplomatic relations to create that environment for the two. Now, for the two countries. Because now you have the Angolan government.
Actually, it's four countries.
Yeah, four countries.
It's now EU, US, the funders.
Yeah.
It's Zambia, DRC, and Angola. Approved.
Yeah.
By SADC.
Ah, dear Lord.
Remember, the three of them ask SADC, can we develop this corridor?
Yeah.
And they then pitched it, was it to the EU? Because it forms part of the EU's Global Gateway
initiative
as well. And because Africa gets 1.3 billion or 1.5 billion of 3 billion euros in terms of the funding model and stuff. And then the EU went and pitched it to the US, and then they joined, because they have a joint program to help the global south upscale its upgrade its
basically with its infrastructure, development initiatives.
No, but just infrastructure.
Just infrastructure.
Yeah, the article that I wrote, because you have
to, but infrastructure is needed.
Yeah, because you have to go down a massive rabbit hole, because you have to tie in. Okay, so the three countries are in SADC: yeah. Angola, Zambia, and DRC. So DRC, so SADC said yes, rubber stamped, sort of like gave a seal of approval, or you know, that mechanism says yes.
Green light, go ahead.
Green light, you can develop this thing because it forms part of SADC's overall integrated infrastructure plan,
yeah.
Which is also a goal that SADC wants to achieve.
Yeah.
That integrated infrastructure plan, Helmut, forms part of SADC's goal to have an integrated economic pact or block. So that means, everyone wants, you know, the goal is to get the whole SADC first trading between each other and then have this like...
Then expand it from there.
Yeah, have this integrated scenario. Now you see how that factors into the AFCFTA discussion. The downside is, South Africans are already doing it automatically.
Mm.
Which is sort of like one of the things that you sometimes have to ask the question, how do we build up capacity to do what the South Africans are doing? Because if
That's a good question.
Because if you... Look, infrastructure is good, Helmut. Build the infrastructure. The question then becomes, you know, how do people spend the money that, you know, let's say you are the construction workers building the infrastructure. Are you just going to pay for the basics? Because that's going to be a temporary job. It's not going to be a forever job. Is it going to be scenarios of how do you facilitate certain particular urbanization goals? Because remember, Namibia's industrial goal from 2012.
Yeah.
And I'm still stating that industrial goal because that policy, there's no policy that came after 2012. Even if you say Harambe Prosperity Plan is there and all that, yes, they would still speak to the same particular policy document that cites, Namibia needs to achieve industrialization, which is found also in NDB 6. The overall theme there is industrialization. Now, where do you put up factories? Do you build a factory, Helmut, there somewhere in the Bundus? There's somewhere in the bush, there, you know, somewhere there.
Yeah.
Or do you put that factory right next to a town? Where is the garment factory that's standing dormant? It's in Nkurunkuru.
Yeah.
Which is a town. Why is it in a town? Because a town council can provide you with water and electricity services. It can provide you with services.
Yeah.
Can provide you with tar roads. There's another business there that can provide you with securities. There's another business that can provide you with catering. You know, local business buys from each other.
Yeah.
Which is always also the backwards to forwards thinking that is happening with these engagements about the AFCFTA and the oil and gas and the green hydrogen development. Because these mechanisms, these discussions, these siloed discussions are positioned in a way that, oh, Helmut, your stand-up comedy company must now just work to service audiences in Kenya. Oh, Dwight, your news podcasting should just be geared towards African audiences. As I've said before, and I've said it a million times, the underlying theme in the marketing philosophy that I was taught, coming through from the great sage, or the, if I now have to go into biblical terms, the prophetic voice of Philip Kotler. After that, we've got to go to the break.
That was biblical.
It's time to win your share of 500,000 Namibian dollars in prizes for Vintook Beer. Find one of the 100% real quotes broadcast across Namibia on billboards, in stores, in newspapers, and on social media. Buy any Vintook Beer, SMS the underliner code to 75050, or scan the QR code to enter on WhatsApp. So, spot a quote, grab a Vintook Beer, and you could win. Vintook, real beer for real people. Not for persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly. T's and C's apply.
Welcome back. So before we continue, let's take a live read.
And we're back, dear listeners. Get all your essential projects. Let me start again. Get all your essential products for just 99 Namibian dollars at USAFE. 1 kilogram each of Rice King rice, Top Score or Bokomo Super Maize meal, Sugar King white or brown sugar, 500 grams Pasta Polana or Pasta King, and 750 milliliters of Right Brand sunflower seed oil. And that's five products for just only 99 Namibian dollars. You save, I save, yes, we all save at You Save.
And we continue. So, in the wisdom of Mount, what's this, Brandberg.
Mount Brandberg.
That was.
Okay, so getting back to the, getting back to the sage insights or the, you know, prophetic, wisdom of Philip Kotler.
Yeah.
He's the, if you guys don't know, anyone that hasn't studied, marketing here in Namibia would not have heard, okay, if you did not, you would not have heard it. Yeah. Or heard of the guy. If you did, you would have heard of Philip Kotler. So Philip Kotler is known as sort of like the academic, think tank behind the modern marketing philosophy, which is have a discussion of knowing what the customer wants, interrogating why the customer wants this thing, meaning you find out the motivations, which obviously is borrowed from some, aspects of psychology, meaning consumer buyer behavior. And also understanding how targeted messaging spurs on or achieves the desired goals that a marketer wants. Meaning, if you put up an advert saying, you know, do this to get this particular reward for a customer, you obviously are creating some sort of a call to action. And in other cases, it's just about continuously reinforcing a message. Now, Philip Kotler's, at the start of Philip Kotler's particular philosophy is, you don't follow a production philosophy. So production philosophy, Helmut, is you just producing into infinity. You don't know who's going to buy what you're producing. You don't know who's going to consume what you're producing. You're just producing for the fun of it. Then you
Sounds like a terrible business idea.
Well, that's what happens still till today. Even China is practicing that thing. That you just produce and then you go and find who can consume or absorb.
Cross your fingers and hope someone is going to consume the product.
Yeah. And then the same thing, obviously localized, is our tertiary institutions that are just producing teachers and professionals or graduate professionals. And we don't know where they're going to be absorbed. And then you get to the sales philosophy.
It's a little painful, dude.
The sales philosophy, I know. But it's a reality. We have to, we have to acknowledge it.
Unfortunately.
Then you get the sales philosophy, which is based upon just selling without really just finding out if the customer really wants the thing that you're selling to them. That's the sales philosophy. The marketing philosophy gels the sales and the production philosophy together into one. So you have technically a three-in-one, not a two-in-one, a three-in-one philosophy. So you position an aspect there of understanding communication, how the communication realm has to play a targeted specific goal to meet the targeted specific desired goals that the company wants. The production philosophy has to facilitate, okay, if my communication says this, I have to, must have produced this thing to sell this thing. You cannot communicate, I can produce this, and you've never produced this thing in your life before. Then there's a lot of those particular individuals in Namibia who will say, yes, yes, I can,
I can do this, but first pay.
So what is the customer paying for?
Subcontracting, I think that's what you know, I'll just take the money and then find someone who can do it and then give them the money.
True. And then you sit with a substandard product, or when the standing committee on, what was the standing committee's name? Cause we still have to do that discussion like next week. The new members of the standing committees in the National Assembly, when they went to the border post here at, on the east. And they went to go look at the
number, you know, the structures that Namra wanted.
That Namra officials were supposed to get.
Yeah.
And that Namra official gave those MPs that tour of, you know, the partially completed accommodation.
Yeah, they were just there for a status update. Like,
yeah.
Okay, well.
So this has been like this for like 2 years, and then the MPs were like, what? 2 years?
Please elaborate. Well.
Well, the contractor.
You may want to sit down on this one.
The contractor.
Honorable.
Yeah, the contractor said, you know, he said yes, and then halfway through the project, he said, yeah, I underquoted you guys.
Change your plans.
How do you underquote someone, Helmut? How do you underquote someone? How do you under, what you call it? How is your price below that? Because you clearly read the line that said this, you need to complete between date X and date Y. It doesn't say, yeah, you know what, I'm sick and tired, I want a new G-Wagon in between, you know, so somewhere.
I just jack up the price.
Yeah, let's get a dung, you know, shake your pockets there, you know, make it drop something. Where in what world? And that was the issue also with the, remember the Ministry of Justice guys also. Remember when the MPs had to go look for Karatura East?
The prefabricated court, and they
were asking the executive directors, "Where's Karatura East, guys?" I have never seen such a constituency. Never heard of such a constituency designation. Where's Karatura East?
Now, when you look at it from an infrastructure standpoint, you begin to understand why it takes a whole different level of dedication to your job or life in general for you to work into some of the sectors. Because if you are a judge or a legal practitioner that went to school and invested a lot of your money and time into acquiring these qualifications only to be told, well, here's the thing. Until we come up with a better structure, this place that was once someone's bedroom, this is where you're going to be prosecuting, you know, everyone that's going to be, you know, take, you know, stealing a goat here and there.
Yeah, but here's the thing, Amut. You see, the opportunity was right there.
That was Otavi.
Not just Otavi, there was Ondangwa.
Okakarara, I think.
Okakarara. There was another town close to, where's the one that they had to go from? Yeah, it was Omothia to Ondangwa, I think.
Because
Omothia didn't have.
They had to transport,
and then process the guys in.
Inmates for court proceedings and then drive them back.
Yeah, but the court proceedings have to take place in the Ondangwa police station. In one of the cells, because that was the only free space.
May we all rise. Judge is getting into jail. Now you know I can easily get fired when it comes to this.
So obviously, the exercise we're doing right now, dear listeners, shows you immediately where the business ideas lie. Meaning, if you guys are in construction, the construction sector is never supposed to be out of work, technically. Because look what we just pointed towards, you know? You know, each of these particular designated geographic locations across the country needs valuable, it's a debatable subject matter, but it needs valuable infrastructure installations, which obviously helps with the overall development agenda of the country. Now, when you come to the AFC-FTA discussion, we are obviously talking about you putting forward, Helmut, an orange juice that you made there in Omaeke, that you were squeezing there from your little orange tree orchid that you've got backyard.
Point of correction on that, right? Watermelon juice in Kavango West.
I know.
You're welcome.
I know. But remember, the goal was there that you should have this product alone already.
Yeah.
Right? And you should have labeled it. It must have a plastic bottle. It should be bottled and capped. And you should be able to tell someone, hey, listen, even though I'm making this in my backyard, I can supply a couple of hundred units, you know, every 10 months. Which is a very unsustainable business venture, but yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But still, you can at least put down prototypes, right? Right? Sure. Yes, you can put down prototypes. The scenario here is, I loved what the governor, Pion Ganate, said, of Omaeke, where he cited, let's try and add some value to the products that cattle can give you.
Yeah.
Yes. Start making cheese. You can make cheese every month. Start making yogurt. You can package it every month. We don't just need or require one dairy company to be making things. There was a very lovely dairy product that was made also in the Omaeke region, but then I heard that they closed up shop. They had a lovely ice cream cafe in Independence Avenue. Many Namibians would know about it. Many Gen Zs and many millennials obviously frequented there. You know what I'm talking about. It was the only ice cream parlor that was there, smack bang, in the middle of Independence Avenue. It was actually the social scene obviously until something happened regarding, you know, Namibia's particular colonial history and then certain particular
pops up and
social media situations occurred, and then I heard that the husband and wife, you know, skedaddled back to Germany, and then I'm just filling in what I heard. You know, I'm just filling in what I heard. That business closed down, Helmut. Obviously because of things not related to business. But what I saw when I frequented at that specific venture that is obviously now closed down, they made their own ice cream. They made their own ice cream. It was not ice cream bought from an ice cream supplier somewhere in Northern Industrial. They made their own ice cream. They made their own sorbet. Do you know what sorbet is?
I have no idea.
I never liked sorbet. I never ate sorbet, but I probably tasted it somewhere in somewhere. Sorbet is fruit pulp that is frozen.
Oh.
You know that thing that the kids are sucking on here in Kommersdal and Karatura, the ice, the flavored ice?
Yeah.
Ne? That's something we grew up with in Rehoboth also. I didn't see it in Windhoek in 1999 when we moved from Rehoboth to Windhoek. Because in Rehoboth it was an easy sort of like home industry to start off.
Yeah, because all you just have to do is take any
Drinkopop.
Drinkopop.
Mix it, buy the flavors of Drinkopop.
Mix everything with water.
And you put it in those little plastic bags that you can buy.
Tie them up and then freeze them.
It's technically meat plastic bags or food storage plastic bags.
Talk about, you know, multi-purpose.
Of course. Mm. And, you know, and then you sell it off. My best flavors of it, the ones that I always liked, were the ones that where you had the milk flavor. It was they call it milk ice, but it's literally milk with the chocolate or milk.
That was everyone's flavor.
Or that pink one, the milk and I think it was strawberry, supposed to be strawberry jelly.
Yeah.
And that's an awesome flavor. And it's one of the quickest sort of like home industries to start off on. Now, when you realize obviously that everything to do with food is one of the easiest things to make and to produce, it's also just a question in terms of, are you going to be profitable and are you going to be a sustainable enterprise?
Yeah.
Reason being, Helmut, why I say that statement is because you have to target what unique thing you can position on the market. So if you are making kapana, Helmut, and I'm making braai vleis, but I'm giving you a steak at $50 a steak, and you are asking $25 Namibian for something that possibly resembles the size of a steak, but it's just technically stir-fry pieces cut up that can, you know, provide some sort of a go-between meal scenario. You're obviously going to attract a lot more clients than me because I'm giving a bigger thing at a larger price. You're giving something slightly smaller that could potentially be the same thing, just kind of in pieces, presented in a smaller portion for a smaller price. Do you see the difference of the same product? The value addition, the different options you can put forward. Now, when that happens, obviously, yes, you would have to find some innovative way of trying to export kapana or braai vleis, because obviously every other African country does have their aspect of meat kapana on a grill. No, meat on a grill. That's the theory. Ad break, guys, after we come back.
With either a non-alcoholic Heineken, Savannah, Windhoek Original or Windhoek Lemon. Let's cheers to connecting, to moments shared and good vibes, anytime, anywhere. Grab one of our great tasting non-alcoholic beers or ciders. Easy to connect, easy to enjoy. Not for persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly.
That iconic taste of Heineken. Loved in Germany, Amsterdam, Argentina, and Namibia. That crisp and balanced taste of Heineken. Loved around the world. Enjoy that refreshing thirst. Only made possible by Heineken's unique 5-star credentials. Not for persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly.
And coming back, dear listeners, from the extended break right there, just where we left off before it, specifically just citing the various market options that you've got to provide. Because here's the thing. The governor himself of Omaheke, and which obviously many other governors in the 8 various regional engagements that this particular exercise of the two ministries obviously engaging with the business communities across the country so far have all cited is that add some value to the thing. So if you've got one or other agricultural process in your region, the endeavor that you now have to embark on is technically what else can you do? So if you've got cabbages there, or what was that example, Helmut, that we had about the organic farming guy that went to Kavango West? Was it broccoli?
Oh yeah, it was broccoli.
Where he discovered
the one that, you know, he just produced everything and then
He just had a production theory.
He just had a production theory.
And then showed up there and tried to sell it, and then everyone in Nkuru was like,
and my people were looking at him going,
"Wat se goed bring jy hier vir ons?" And everyone was saying, "Wat se goed bring jy hier?"
First of all, what the heck is that?
Yeah, what is this thing?
Not only is it something that's basically new, but everyone is looking at it. First of all, you have some that can't tell what that vegetable is, and let alone how to prepare it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and now when you just sit there and say, "No, actually, you can." Well, there are different ways of preparing it. You can eat it. You know, you can eat it with salad. You are just making it worse. First of all, what is salad? Well, this is when you take, uncooked, lettuce and just chop them, everything, you know, and raw onions. What is lettuce?
But that's
exactly. Then you just add on olive, olives. What are olives?
Olives. And that's exactly the conversation you and I have been having for the past, what, is it 7 or 8 months now?
Yeah.
Obviously citing, you know, the, much well-publicized Peugeot plant.
Oh, yeah.
At Valfus. Is that you've got to first do market research. Now, obviously the speeches were wonderful, telling the people, like the governor of Omaheke telling people, add more value to things, the mayor of Gobaba saying, you know, what about, you know, going exploring the, or resuscitating the, what was it, the Devil's Claw extraction industry. And all I saw was just, it's extraction, so you are not adding value to the thing. If she said, how about we invite the pharmaceutical manufacturing companies to open up an office?
I have seen
a factory.
I've seen a number of, let me just, not exaggerate the numbers. I think I've seen a product or two in shops that I have that label, you know, Devil's Claws. Mm. Some are in a form of capsules, but in mostly, you know, even these capsules, you can, you know, one that I came across, they're see-through, through capsules. So you can just say that it's a powder-ish in, which is basically what capsules are.
Mm.
Yeah, but when it comes to Devil's Claws, I don't think there's I've never heard of anyone that ever tried to sort of like farm it, so that it's not one of those things that's only coming up, coming once every year when they say when you have when you have good rains. So if it's just something that is like you just put it, if we just leave it to Mother Nature and becomes something that's just simply extractive, then the sustainability of that business also, comes into question because, we are very prone to drought. Yeah. What happens when they say drought?
Exactly.
So you just have to tell the people that you're supplying this product with. Take, for example, you have, a very, good startup pharmaceutical company out there that's relying on you for this product. Let's say they need that because it's their primary ingredients in whatever it is that they're producing.
Mm.
When they come asking, can we have a supply of this much, there's a drought this year, so, I'm sorry.
For this year, you know, we're going to,
Let's cross our fingers and hope the rain is good enough next year.
Yeah.
And even then it will take a good 7 or 8 months.
Yeah. And then you still work with a question mark in terms of if the rain will return.
Yep.
At the end of that 7 or 8 months. For example, like what has been some of the particular talking points about outlooks for the whole of the southern hemisphere in terms of rainfall, is that they don't know where La Nina will show up in the southern hemisphere.
Yeah.
Now, remember, like I keep saying, if you have La Nina on the African continent, you will have El Nino somewhere else in the southern hemisphere, specifically. They work in tandem. So if there's El Nino on Africa, there's La Nina somewhere else. So we've already seen Afghanistan has had floods.
Which one? Okay. Which one means you are flooding and which one means you are dried up?
La is the flooding.
Oh.
L is the drying up.
Okay.
Now, the Sahara Desert had La last year.
For the first time in a very long time.
In modern human history, in any human history, it's been the first time that anyone has seen so much rainfall fall in the Sahara Desert.
We are flooding. Where are you? And in then, the Sahara, everyone's like, huh?
And then we had the weird thing that happened here in the southern hemisphere, the extended winter that lasted into October.
Yeah.
That snow and hail that people in Karasburg and Kermanshoop were still experiencing.
Yeah.
We still had winter into October. Remember?
Okay.
If you work from those particular weird anomalies, very super weird anomalies, yep. And then obviously the super heavy rainfall we got at the start of this year, we have to interrogate Helmut. How reliable would this be? Because if I tell you today to tap into that massive aquifer there in the north, which technically, you know, from Lake Oshikoto to Abanap, where I spoke about historic mine facility,
yeah,
to Dragon's Breath, which is on the other side of Tumep, to you can obviously throw it into the 4O regions on the other side of the Red Line. It's that aquifer. Covers that whole area.
You know, one scary story that came from that aquifer is how that gentleman was telling the story of how the Oshikoto Lake came about. That this thing was a closed off thing. This thing was a cave.
Yes.
The roof collapsed.
Yeah, because it was fragile. So it means that someone could have walked up on top. And then it just collapsed.
Now, I think the history of the Oshikoto region, I think it serves as a reminder of what we should prepare for the moment we tap into our underground water.
Yeah, and we just drain and drain.
That's going to create a vacuum, and sooner or later,
do you know where's the best
sinkholes example? Are going to start appearing everywhere.
Do you know where's the best example for that?
Well,
Florida and Turkey.
Oh,
they literally went to visit a farmer in Turkey, in eastern Turkey, which is the site that borders onto Syria and, what's the other country's name? Syria and Iraq. There's a farmer. They took a wide shot. It was an Al Jazeera report.
Yeah.
So they went there with a drone. They took a wide shot. You could see the sinkholes on his farm.
Multiple.
Why? The agricultural ministry in Turkey, a few years back, more than 10 years, should I say, had an aggressive agricultural policy that they introduced. The farmers need to
tap. Their only water source was
the farmers need to tap into the underground water tables, and not because obviously it's obviously economically unfeasible if a farmer has a high expense or high expenditure.
Yeah.
If you are linking me with a pipeline from a reservoir or a dam,
that's costing more than I can.
Than just putting in a borehole,
yeah,
with a pump,
yeah,
you know, with a windmill pump,
yeah.
And the according to that report, the agricultural ministry of Turkey had an aggressive agricultural policy that outlined and targeted underground water should play a crucial role to the farmers. The farming industry of Turkey, which leads to that weird scenario. Now, the same particular access to the underground water resource is similarly in that Turkish scenario also part of Turkish urban needs, meaning towns also accessing the same underground water.
Yeah.
Because an aquifer is not a small thing. An aquifer is a pretty big thing.
Ours here isn't it like covering 2 or 3 countries?
Yeah. The one that runs here from southern Namibia into
Botswana
and
South Africa.
And then it circles back into Namibia. So at
least I want a diving suit where I can exploit. You know.
Yeah, they tried it with Dragon's Breath. Dragon's Breath is most the aquifer that connects the Guinas Lake and Lake Oshikoto. It's the same aquifer, that massive aquifer.
Yeah.
They can't find the bottom. When we spoke to
one more time?
They can't find the bottom.
Like that's how deep it is.
Yes.
Okay.
At Lake Guinas, the tour guide, who's also a trained diver,
yeah,
to dive down.
Mm-hmm.
He literally explained that the issue with Lake Oshikoto,
yeah,
is they also don't know where the,
like how deep it is.
Where's the end of that part of the aquifer? Because our aquifer is obviously not a level thing.
Yeah.
Yes, the top part, like you would look at it, but it's not the container has got multiple, you know, multiple depth, deep points,
mm-hmm,
or let me rather say seabed points or aquifer bed points. So they don't know how deep that thing is. So now you're sitting with a conundrum, Helmut. So technically, Namibia does not have an issue with water.
It's just the consequence that comes with tapping into that water.
Yeah.
Which is already visible from a lot of countries, like you used to, like you pointed out, for example, Turkey and Florida.
Yeah.
So, every time that you take, sinkholes are basically,
and that's the thinnest part where the sinkhole occurs, né?
Yeah.
Is the thinnest part of the Earth's, the top part. The part that we are walking.
Yeah, like the surface. Yeah.
That's the thinnest part. Where a sinkhole occurs is the thinnest part.
Mm.
So it is unfortunately a huge threat. That is also why.
Man, you just made it even more scary because I was just here worried about the surface, about the roof collapsing.
Yeah.
But you just pointed out that, well, when it collapses, you better cross your fingers and hope there's somewhere in close range to help you because, well, you don't know how deep this thing is.
You can just fall into infinity.
Now, if you are operating some heavy machinery, for example, and you collapse with it.
Yeah, you'll be working with, what's that thing's name? What's that, one of the earliest sci-fi writers?
All right, you know what? I'm gonna have to,
Jules Verne. Jules Verne is most one.
I'm gonna have to watch Piranha again. But don't worry, we don't have Piranha. That's just a movie.
No, Jules Verne is the guy that wrote most of the book, Journey to the Center of the Earth. So, yeah. You'll be dealing with such a scenario in terms of falling to the center of the... No, I'm just, you know.
That's one scary picture. Yeah.
Saying in the movie, but yeah.
But as you can imagine, I think, that's something that, that's a question that every ministry would want to answer. And, if we get to the point where we would like to come up with a, as you put it, aggressive agricultural policy like Turkey did. Now, the thing is, well, I think the sign here is the good news is basically, I think when it comes to aquifer is that you are being told by Mother Nature that the good news is you have the water, you can exploit it. Albeit you'll have to conduct several tests because not all the water will be conducive for farming.
Mm.
Because some of it, if it's too salty, it's terrible for plants. Salty water is just water demanding, which is very confusing, which is why drinking seawater is a bad idea. So you have the water, but if you're going to use it, be ready for consequences.
It's time to win your share of 500,000 Namibian dollars in prizes with Windhoek Beer. Find one of the 100% real quotes broadcast across Namibia on billboards, in stores, in newspapers, and on social media. Buy any Windhoek Beer, SMS the underliner code to 75050, or scan the QR code to enter on WhatsApp. So, spot a quote, grab a Windhoek Beer, and you could win. Windhoek, real beer for real people. Not for persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly. T's and C's apply.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of failure.
This is actually to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura menace.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Great news. Impa just got even better. We have had a brand new...
We've added a brand new feature. Welcome back to Home Run. But before we continue, let's take a live read. Get to USAID today where every penny counts. Pay only 139 Namibian dollars and 99 cents for selected Lavis premium disposable nappies. Six Namibian dollars and 99 cents for 8 Nina sanitary pads, 19 Namibian dollars and 99 cents for 200 milliliters, clay body lotion, 1 kilogram, 1 kilo bag sunlight, 5-in-1 washing powder, costs only 34 Namibian dollars and 99 cents at USAVE. And a large tin right brand, dog food for just 26 Namibian dollars and 99 cents. You save. We all save at You Save. We continue. So, now, where are we? On the scary part of if we are going to, you know, if we get to the point where we have to use on a large scale the, our underground water, we also have to be mindful of the fact that we would be creating vacuums that could lead to sinkholes. But this is obviously a type of more like analysis that you most likely see a lot of geologists coming in to advise the government, take for example the Ministry of Agriculture, Ministry of Environment accordingly. So until then, don't worry about walking. Just watch your steps. That's it. Just watch your steps.
Look, as long as the support structure, which is that massive body of water below the surface, just stays there, and it's tapped into in a limited capacity, meaning that one or two farmers here and there, can actually utilize this.
Yeah, but that's the difficult thing, because we're a semi-arid country. We need water. So now you see that it's very easy to be tempted to overuse it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The downside here is, Helmut, we really need to then start doing certain particular engineering activities. For example, once again, getting back to Lobito Corridor example, we need to come up with an innovative infrastructure mechanism. So what am I talking about? For example, every year when that rain, that surface water that flows in from Angola into Namibia comes about, it should flow into a canal system. A canal system.
Don't I have like a number of canals somewhere in the
Not hand built catchment dams here and there in Ural, and it just serves one or two spots as particular purposes.
When we're planning on getting water from DRC?
What?
That's a nice program. Now,
That would have really been an AFCFTA initiative.
That's a huge
And then every agricultural person and environmental person would ask that question. Water from the DRC?
How much is that going to cost, though?
Yeah, Amu.
Also, that's
you've got a water bottling company from underground water in Omaruru. Namibians buy that product every day.
Yeah.
That guy has a better chance of being able to export a product with value addition to it, because there's a bottle, there's a specific label, there's a bottle cap, there's a name, there's packaging, there's thousands and thousands of units that you can find all across Namibia, potentially even in South Africa. That product can be exported to wherever in the African continent.
Okay, when it comes to benefiting from the Africa Continental Free Trade Area, as a country. I think again, one part of the FCFTA discussion that every country or every business person must look at it, whether it's you are a service provider or you are looking into tapping into this good initiative from by producing a product. The first question to ask yourself is, just how fierce do you think the competition is going to be? Now, let me give you an example. In the early days of social media, it was, there was not a lot of, there was not a lot of content, at least not in comparison to today. But if you are going to go viral today, your content must be top-notch good. Because the competition is more fierce than it was.
Not you using top notch. This is not to be in comparison, Helmut, with who shot Captain Danger, what?
Oh, who shot, is it Captain Alex? That's a Ugandan, masterpiece. Now. Drop the bomb, man.
I'm sorry for laughing, guys. Every time when I think about that thing's visuals, I was like, these were five guys in their backyard, in someone's mom's backyard.
Yeah.
Shooting this thing.
Mm-hmm. Most likely on their, mobile devices. So like, but the CGI was, have you seen someone with a terrible makeup? You can just see that this is some heavy makeup. This is very unnecessary.
This was someone's little sister playing with makeup.
This is someone's little sister playing with makeup. That's exactly what they did. And ended up dominating, dominating YouTube.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
but it made someone's day.
It still makes my day.
It's a cult classic by now.
Uganda have produced two.
What? Captain Alex's?
Actually two. One was an interview.
Oh, the...
Why are you gay? That was not in... Homeboy became famous because of that interview. Also, Uganda. Captain Alex, Uganda. When it comes to entertainment, Uganda is...
Top notch.
Now... So,
our former president he'll send us a bill for that word, top notch. He was the one who made top notch famous.
Basically that would be, if there's anyone that will send us a bill, it will be RT. Because,
Oh, they interviewed him.
They interviewed him.
Oh, okay. No, they wouldn't know,
Mm.
The Russians don't. I'm saying loud here now. Come, they'll be listening to us the whole time.
I know.
Going like, we like these guys.
So
and how about we send that bill?
Just
keep it in the rubles, guys, not Namibian dollars.
And running, coming across an invoice that's written in Cyrillic alphabets, you'd be like, okay, where do I put the money?
And then I will just go like, I don't understand this. But anyway.
So for me, I think, any business individual that's, any business individual, this is not just for Namibia, but for all parties to the Africa Continental Free Trade Area. Whatever it is that we're going to produce, it better be good. Because you can bet there's someone, you can bet there's someone in Zimbabwe that most likely have the same idea. You have someone in Zambia that have the same idea. So these products will be competing.
Of course.
Yeah. So I think the key now is finding out what makes my product or service unique from the competitors. Because competition is not something new that's in the world of business. Competition is basically everything, including life. Unfortunately.
That too.
Yeah.
Even in a content creation scenario, there's obviously also competition there.
Yep.
Here's the thing, Helmut. We as Namibia, we've had so many examples of what we can potentially do to tap in. In many cases, it's also a scenario of how other businesses just don't understand the opportunity that would probably be present there or at that time. I understand in a Namibian context, we are limited in terms of making money circulate as effectively as possible.
Mm-hmm.
I'll reiterate that statement again. We face a difficulty in making money circulate.
Are you saying we save
no
too much or we just...
It gets back to that labor force survey once again. If you've only have got that 500,000 peoples that just go into clearly designated or defined industries. So it's a teacher, it's a doctor, it's a nurse, it's a police officer. And then you get the other sectors like, it's mining, it's, It's the other governments, the other public government officials, the public service sector operators, the limited private sector operators or participants. Then you sit with an issue, meaning there is no evolution of the private sector going ahead. For example, Hamoud, your sector, the creative sector, you guys are supposed to have been doing, that's not the stand-up comedians, the singers, and the other artists. You guys are supposed to have like art galleries or what you call it, art gallery showings every week, every weekend, stand-up comedian sessions, stand-up comedy sessions at every bar every week. You're supposed to have music festivals every week, you know, to make, to generate the money in those particular sectors.
Yeah.
When it comes to us, the media, which you're also now part of, in that particular realm, we should have developed, like costume design and fashion design sectors. We should have helped develop that sector. We should have professionalized football and rugby and cricket and hockey in Namibia and through, you know, the mass mediums that we've got at our disposal. That would have then encouraged the local businesses who already operate to say, hey, listen, let's buy sponsorship.
Yeah.
Or let's buy access to viewership rights. It then would have led, for example, to us being able to produce the other skilled professionals in our economy so that we have this well-rounded but still growing economic
ecosystem.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So the downside is that even 6-7 months down the line and 2 months after NDB6's unveiling and 3 years after you and I started talking about, you know, we are sitting with gems whereby we don't need diamonds or we don't have to wait for a finance minister to come and tell me, oh, well, you know what? The diamond, you know, the receipts from diamond sales have just been too low. You know, we can't really do that. But the Namra is collecting more money. Give Namra more work.
Focus on what's
on tax collection. Give Namra more work. Not tax collection on what is not there.
Well, from the look of things, it looks like Namra wants to work, but the, you know, someone was given a tender to create a, you know,
Namra guys,
structures for them, and then someone decided to bail.
Yeah. Partially through the particular
company. Just halfway through.
Yeah.
I think that's someone that had a history of, you know, banking school midday, decided to...
that was an art, you know. That was an art, Helmut.
Been there, done that.
That was a specific art. I'm not going to out myself like that, but yeah.
Yeah.
I don't want my future wife potentially knowing that her partner would, you know, encourage certain behavior in the generations to come.
Well, actually, fathers are known for that. Like,
For being the bunkers.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Now, here's the thing though. The reason why I brought up the competition is because, it's because, a few days ago, Ethiopia just opened the Renaissance Dam. And it's one of the goal that obviously the dam is going is set to achieve is to produce electricity, most of which they would like to to use internally but also export.
Yeah.
Now, they have the advantage of having two Niles, a white one and the blue one.
Mm.
Yeah. So, they can build a mega structure like that. Now, for countries like Namibia, even if we had the money to build a Renaissance Dam, like the one, you know, the Grand Ethiopian Renaissance Dam, like the one that Ethiopia just reopened, just launched, officially opened.
Mm.
Even if we had the money, we don't have the water source. Not on that magnitude.
That too, Helmut. Even if we have Neckartal.
What do we have to our advantage?
Yeah.
Yeah. This is basically what every country is looking at. What do we have to our advantage? Like, me competing, for example, on the production of copper, that's a terrible example. Mm. With someone who is in the copper belt, that's not going to be very easy for me. Mm. But, the thing here is, I think, where I am, you know, where Namibia is strong, Angola is, a few of these points may be Angola's weaknesses. Mm. And where Angola is strong, a few of these, of those strengths would be Namibia's weaknesses. That's where complementary, I think that's where these traits, the Africa Continental Free Trade Area now comes in handy.
Mm.
I still don't understand though, because one of this, our biggest achievement that was pointed out earlier on this year was, our shipment of first FDA, initiative, project of salt to Nigeria. Where do we get that salt?
It's from vulvas.
From seawater?
Yes.
Does Nigeria have a sea?
Yes.
What happens when one Nigerian decides, we can't be importing this when we have ocean water here. How about we just figure out how they are doing it and then we start doing it here?
Maybe.
And that's when we start to get, what will be our response to that? Like, that's just something I'm curious
about. Did you know we also had salt works in the north? There were where me and the other journalists were gallivanting, understanding culture of tourism. I stumbled upon them in one spot there. There was natural salt works there in the Ohangwena region.
Uh-huh.
So.
There are countries like Botswana. I think Botswana has
Salt pan.
It has a salt pan.
It's a natural park.
Yeah.
I remember the Top Gear guys had a challenge driving through that salt pan. The obviously being haunted by the VW buggy in the in the expedition. But the unfortunate thing here is, Hamoud, you sometimes have to look at what was the reason why we could export that specific
product
of salt to Nigeria. So the discussion there is obviously born from market research, because you can't export a product that cannot be consumed that side. So if you go and look at potentially then West Africa, the dietary scenario that is there, that, the landscape there, meaning also the sort of like the gastro, what do they call that? The gastro industry there, meaning what kinds of foods, the cuisine that they prepare there. They probably don't use a lot of salt. They probably also don't use a lot of sugar. For example, I had a lecturer here at NUST, a marketing lecturer.
Mm.
I think he's one of the stories I heard is that just before COVID, he got a job in Canada, relocated with his whole family. But he was here for more like 10 years here in Namibia.
Yeah.
He told us in one of his lessons, in one of his lectures, that in his house, you will only find a 500 gram of sugar. That's the most sugar that his wife and his kids eat. His wife is also Nigerian. And he indicated, he didn't even say like 1 kilogram, he just said the 500 gram. So this obviously would indicate to you, Helmut, that in the West African context, in terms of the diet, what they eat there, is that there is no need for more salt or more sugar.
So if you're going to sell them food products, you first have to look at the preferred culinary delicacy that they have.
Exactly. It's also now the opportunity then probably exists, Helmut, that we can sell yogurt or other dairy products as part of the AFC-FDA discussion into the rest of Africa. Because remember, they might have a locally made dairy product there from Nigeria or Ghana. That's not obviously if they've got any livestock farmers there. And I guess they do have livestock farmers. Although there is, when I watch English Premier League a lot, there's this one Nigerian ad about soy milk. They are heavy, it seems, on soy milk consumption. So then this puts then a major roadblock in if you're a dairy farmer. In front of you specifically, that potentially this might be a market that probably has a lactose intolerance issue or a lactose tolerance issue, meaning the consumers might not be used to digesting milk products. We are so many Namibians that can digest cheese, yogurt, other other particular
dairy products?
I almost said fermented.
Fermented every Namibian day. Okay, most of them. Every weekend we digest that.
Yeah, but there's that specific process that is applied to milk. They call it is it milk culture? But it's a microorganism that obviously helps with the aging
like
process.
How yogurt is made?
Yogurt and cheese and buttermilk, which is technically omaere. That's the English name, guys. If you don't know what it is, it's buttermilk. There's another and cream. Obviously technology is that long life milk. That's technology speaking there. Milk staying fresh for 6 months on a shelf, room temperature.
That's
GMO. Just call it GMO for what it is. That's GMO. So
you're ruining my breakfast, dude.
No, but you can actually see, Helmut.
Yeah, because natural food spoils.
Yeah, and it has a time limit. Yeah. So you can obviously see there's a lot that Namibia can develop and can send, you know, as further as part of the AFCFTA scenario, for example, to many West African markets. The downside is now obviously when you're coming into markets that have a different religion. So if we're now talking about we're going to service a Muslim religion dominated market. Let's pick one. Let's say it is Mauritania. What are you going to sell Mauritania?
Okay, I think that's somewhat the best example to draw how to solve that conundrum from would be Brazil and the Middle East.
True, but Brazil has the same thing.
Brazil
wants to break into Namibia. Brazil doesn't want Namibia breaking into Brazil.
No. I'm saying that because Brazil, as you can imagine, for them to supply Middle Eastern countries with all meat products, the first step to they can't just assume from a Brazilian perspective that everyone around the world, including all countries in the Middle East, are going to cook meat the same way that we do. How do they slaughter their cattle? Mm. How do they preserve their meat? Mm. All these things must be put in consideration. Mm. I think this is where diplomacy now comes in, and also knowing each other's cultures and ways of doing things.
Mm.
Because, I eat meat, but not when it's being drowned. I like mine fried. Now, there are those that like to just, drown it and then, throw in salt and call it cooking. And no, that's not cooking. That's, that's drowning meat. Now.
That's just pickling it, Helmut.
Hmm?
That's pickling it with heat.
That's still drowning. Now. So, if you are going to supply meat, for example, to Nigeria, and this meat that you want to supply to Nigeria is pork, you definitely don't want to supply that to the mostly northern part of Nigeria because it's predominantly Muslim.
Mm.
They are not going to buy that. So, your biggest bet when it comes to pork supply, if you want to supply Nigeria, countries like Nigeria with meat, would be mostly, your biggest market is going to be mostly the southern part.
Mm.
But the northern part, everyone will be like, yeah, you should have done your research, dude. Because this is predominantly Muslim and we don't eat, and we don't eat pork.
It would also be a scenario, Hamoud. Obviously, we are speaking predominantly about the food, the food sector in terms of being able to produce and then sell, package and process and sell. There's obviously the potential for something else to come about, even clothing garments. I mean, we've got a dormant standing garment factory there in Nkurunkuru.
Yeah.
We can add value. We definitely can add value.
That's the same question that we just talked about on meat, comes again to the textile industry.
Mm.
What products, okay, where's your market?
Mm.
If my market, take for example, is the, is South Sudan, I can't just take any piece of cloth and then take it there. I have to find out what do they buy, what's commonly worn there, because the more common it is, the bigger the market is going to be.
A scenario also,
and also what are their sizes? Because boy, those guys are tall.
Yeah, and if they are tall, they've got big feet.
Yep. So if you take a Helmut Strauser there, it's going to be a boxer, and that's not going to be good. And
Oh my goodness, it's going to be a boxer. But before we continue, dear listeners, we're quickly going to take a short live read and come back after it.
Yeah.
Velvice University 2026 applications are now open for the Faculty of Health Sciences. The following programs are Certificate in Pharmacy Level 5, Certificate in Health Science Foundation Level 5, Certificate for Enrolled Nurse, Midwife or Accoucheur Level 6, Diploma in Environmental Health Science Level 6, Bachelor of Social Work Honours, Bachelor of Nursing and Midwifery Science Honours, Postgraduate Diploma in Community Health Nursing Level 8, Postgraduate Diploma in Mental Health Nursing Level 8. And the application fee is $230 Namibian. Application deadline is 30 November 2025. For more information, call 061-225-463 or 061-225-462. Velvice University, where everyone is an achiever. So, no salt.
Welcome back. Yeah. So, here's the most somewhat a little bit painful thing about the African continental free trade area.
Yeah.
When we, now the African continent is a biggest producer of extractive resources. They were talking diamond, gold, you know, uranium and all these things. We're not looking much into, you know, we're not looking much into processing them. We're all just, you know, into ship it out somewhere then.
Yeah.
Now, the reason why I brought up the Grand Ethiopian, Renaissance dam is because, the key reason behind the structure is to produce electricity, which they also plan to export. Now, there is then a competition especially for their neighboring countries in terms of energy production. In terms of energy production and export.
Yeah.
Now, one of the discussion that you and I had a couple of weeks ago is one of Africa's hardcore shopping for solar panels. It turns out we are buying a lot of solar panels, and the solar panels are only, whether it's on a domestic or industrial scale, have the same purpose. They're solar panels. Producing energy is the core, is the only reason that will make one buy a solar panel. For decoration, they make terrible mirrors. They're made out of glass, but they make terrible mirrors. So, in terms of energy production and export, Namibia, questionable though it may be in terms of ownership and stuff, but green hydrogen seem to be making headways, and we have, and also another ongoing initiative going on around the country is one of oil and gas. So energy generation, the greenness of the energy coming from the oil and gas industry is one that is still under ginormous controversy even to this day, hence the transition. And multinational agreements or international agreements like the Paris agreements. So the oil and gas industry can produce large amounts of energy. It can. But looking at the energy transition, in terms of energy transition and the green energy used to produce a lot of products and services, it gives countries like Ethiopia a lot of advantage, even when it comes to the carbon border adjustment mechanism, which will be implemented by the EU come next year. So, where was it? Now, Ethiopia and their massive dam, which is geared towards, among other things, electricity generation, opened just on time to take advantage of the European market in a very competitive way, because it's going to generate electricity using, well, green energy generation. Commercial break.
It's time to win your share of 500,000 Namibian dollars in prizes with Vintook Beer. Find one of the 100% real quotes broadcast across Namibia, on billboards, in stores, in newspapers, and on social media. Buy any Vintook Beer, SMS the underliner code to 75050, or scan the QR code to enter on WhatsApp. So, spot a quote, grab a Vintook Beer, and you could win. Vintook, real beer for real people. Not for persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly. T's and C's apply.
Has your phone ever taken a nosedive into the kitchen sink? Take control with Express Credit. Borrow up to $32,000. Fast, reliable, same-day approval. Apply for a quick cash loan. Call 90,000.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the I.
Welcome back to Home Run with Helmut and Dwight as we wrap it up. I'm looking at the competitive advantages that competitive advantages that that came at least to the country of Ethiopia with the opening of one of, if not, I think it's the biggest dam in Africa right now.
Yeah.
So, energy generation is one reason. One thing it's geared to. That means green energy. That means Albania type of green energy. That means European market friendly energy.
Yeah. You know.
So, don't worry. We still got this with our oil and gas. And, for green energy initiatives, we also have, green hydrogen. We both have a demon and an angel in us. We got this.
I'm really calling it a demon and an angel.
I know. We can be nice and be savage at the same time. But look, the energy mix, this basically, I think, reflects the energy mix that's been pointed out, actually being promoted to this day as a brilliant way of carrying out the energy transition. That you can't just switch off oil and gas today and then expect to figure out every questions that are still not figured out by a lot of experts in the science, in the fields of science with regards to maximizing energy generation and improving its reliability of green energy generation.
Yeah.
It's not that easy. We're still trying to figure out the storage. You can produce it with solar, but where are you gonna store it?
Mm.
You can store it in batteries, but how many of them do you need to store industrial scale?
Yep.
Energy to meet to meet energy requirements of an industrial area. That's a lot of energy that you need. So the competition, I think, the competition here is goes. I know that most, we focused more on the culinary industry, that's your food, and more on the textile industry. And the textile industry, but the Africa Continental Free Trade Agreement is for everything commercial, basically.
It is. There is no limit. I don't think there's any.
No.
Sort of like
everything commercial.
Yeah, anything that you can potentially sell. We're not talking about selling humans, please, guys. We're just saying there's a potential.
I can imagine scamming on an
on a continental
Africa Continental level. Free Trade Area level.
Level, yeah. Yeah, I am Prince Agufor from somewhere Delta, somewhere in Nigeria.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
My father just died. Their fathers are always dead now. And leaving them with a lot of money they don't have access to.
Supposedly.
Yeah.
Miraculously.
This is a lot of money. Now, all I just need is your $2,000 to help me.
$2,000 US to access my Naira.
To access my millions.
Of Naira.
Yeah. And then I will come to your country and you and I will live happily ever after.
Sharing with you the proceeds of my millions worth of Naira inheritance.
Believe it or not, there are a lot of people that have fallen for that crap.
Yeah.
Y'all are watching too much Korean movies.
Yeah, that too. Way too much.
Yep.
just way too much, guys.
So just someone popped out of the blue, and they have millions, and you are there.
There's a reason why Gmail put that email in your trash, ne?
Yeah, exactly.
Or in your spam.
There's a reason why it's there.
There's a reason why Gmail put it there.
Well, the best internet advice I've ever gotten was from my English teacher, that when you're on the internet, don't be a yes machine. Learn to click no and cancel.
Learn to read and cancel no.
Yeah, the reading part, that's a tricky one. That's a tricky one. But 6 minutes into home run, more like 6 minutes into business and economic segment.
Into David's landscape.
Into David's landscape. That brings us to the end of home run. The I think the very simple simple question to ask ourselves here is the Africa Continental Free Trade Area provides for a giant market for anyone that that wants to do business to tap into, because we are on a continental level that we are not, that you be capable of doing this business. But then that means the competition is also going to be fierce. So now it's all about figuring out what is going to make my product stand out, stand out from the competition. Yeah. It's either that, or you can just start hiring, bottlenecking supply, and then go on an assassination spree of everyone that competes with you. But then you'll go to jail.
Don't listen to that part, guys. Please, 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 please. Just know that Helmut is doing that with a smile.
My business ideas are top notch. Now, until tomorrow, same time, same place, on your favorite radio station, Eagle FM. You all have a blessed evening, and please do stay tuned for the next program. That's Business and Economic Segment with yours truly, David. From me, you all have a blessed evening.
And on my side, dear listeners, same as well. Let's see each other again tomorrow, same time, same place. Stay tuned for the BES. Stay tuned for the rest of our programming happening today and night. And enjoy. I'll obviously enjoy our programming in your company. We'll be back tomorrow.